This episode is based on a chapter from Laws of Life, Book 1, Ditch the System, Design Your Life by Jack Spirko. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone.
Great to be here.
Yeah, so today we're unpacking a really fascinating core law from Chapter 7, and the mission for you listening today is to really digest this one idea, which is leadership starts with leading yourself. Because if you cannot lead yourself, nothing else matters.
Right, which sounds simple, but you know, it completely flips how most of us operate day to day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about it. Every day we turn on the news and we hear about the failings of our quote unquote leaders, right? And usually they're pointing the finger at politicians.
Yeah, almost always politicians.
But drawing on the author's stance here, we have to look at that critically. Politicians are supposed to be public servants. They aren't leaders because, you know, you can only lead if others actually choose to follow you.
Exactly. It's a choice.
Right. And just looking back at my own life, I never once viewed a mayor or a senator as my leader. My leaders were my karate teachers, you know, or my soccer coaches, or those business mentors who took an actual interest in me.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. Never once did I expect an elected official to just turn around, look at me, and go, follow me.
Well, and that highlights how society just completely misuses the word leader.
Yeah.
Because we confuse it with command.
Oh, that's a huge distinction.
It really is. Wow. The author brings up this great military hill example to clarify it. So imagine a captain telling his troops, you know, men, take that hill. And they do it.
Right. They charge up the hill.
Yeah. But that is commanding. That's not leading. If that same captain grabs a rifle, paps the radio operator, says, follow me, and goes up that hill first.
Now that is leading.
Exactly. That's leading. Good leaders are also good commanders, but the reverse just isn't automatically true. You can command all day without actually leading.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because, you know, with my background as an NCO in the military, this is right in my wheelhouse.
I was hoping you'd jump in on this one.
Oh, yeah. Because the title is just a name tag, right? It's just a piece of plastic. Respect is the actual currency. And I have to push back a bit on how civilians misunderstand the military here.
Hope so.
Well, people think military leadership is just some drill sergeant plainly yelling at people.
Right.
And people just obeying out of fear.
Right, like a movie trope.
Exactly, like Hollywood. But real military leadership isn't about that at all. It's about soldiers learning to lead themselves.
So if taking the hill proves leadership in that specific moment, how is that respect earned before the battle even starts? I mean, especially for you listening who might just be in a regular office, not a war zone.
Well, it comes down to a very specific system.
Right. The incredibly simple military system of leadership.
Yeah.
Which is teach, correct, and demonstrate.
Yep. Teach, correct, demonstrate.
So it's like, here is how you do task A. Then you did it almost right, but here is how to fix it. And finally, now watch me do it.
It's so effective. And to prove that titles aren't needed for this, let's look at the sports example the author gives.
Oh, the guy on the sideline.
Yeah. You've got the real leader. And it's often the guy on the sideline who doesn't even have the captain title on his jersey, right?
Yeah, he's just a regular player.
But when the chips are down, he's the one yelling at the team to dig deep. And why do they tolerate him screaming at them?
Because he earned the respect.
Exactly. He's the first one there. He's the last to leave. He is constantly teaching, correcting, and demonstrating. He doesn't need a title because he has the respect.
What's fascinating here is how this translates to the business world. As a culture consultant, I see this all the time. Trust is the ultimate test of leadership.
Oh, man. Yeah. Corporate trust is so fragile.
It really is. And the author's Sage Telecom story from 2005 perfectly illustrates this. He went in for an interview, and he noticed these massive shadow boxes on the walls.
Shadow boxes.
Yeah, large display boxes for any employee who had been there at least a year, but they weren't filled with, you know, generic corporate awards.
Mm-hmm. What was in them?
Highly personal items. Kids' photos, family heirlooms, stuff you would never just leave lying around in office.
Wow. Yeah, you don't bring your family heirlooms to work unless you feel incredibly safe.
Exactly. It instantly proved they had a culture of deep trust. The company was just full of these leaders by proxy.
But then the company gets sold, right?
Yes. They got acquired.
Oh, man. This is the part that hurts. Because in comes the acquisition team, which the author calls the Bobs.
Like from Office Space?
Just like Office Space. So the Bobs come in, and to justify keeping their own jobs, they try to push out the entrenched leaders of the company.
Which is always a disaster.
A complete disaster. Because what happened, it caused a mass exodus. When those respected leaders were forced out, all the highly talented followers just walked right out the door with them.
They didn't even have to fire the followers.
Nope. They followed the trust right out of the building.
And that leads to this amazing exit interview. The author had this blunt chat on his way out with one of the Bobs, and he literally called the guy a parasite who was just planning to strip the company down.
Good for him. I love that.
And when the Bob asked, you know, how did we lose control of the staff? The author pointed out the shadow boxes.
Did the guy even get it?
Not at all. The author said the guy looked like a sad chimpanzee trying to open a Chinese puzzle box.
That is quite the visual.
The Bob just didn't understand. And the author told him, I know you don't understand, and that is your problem. And he just left the door open on his way out.
Man. So what does this all mean for you listening? It means if a company loses its shadow boxes, you know, its internal trust, command becomes completely useless.
Because the true leaders have already walked out the door with all your best talent.
Exactly. But this poses a real dilemma. If people naturally follow true leaders, what happens when no leader is available? Like, if everything is your responsibility, who teaches, corrects, demonstrates, and commands?
Well, you do.
You have to do it yourself.
Right. And the only way to effectively lead yourself is through standards. Capital S, standards.
Oh, we're speaking my language now.
I know. And going back to your military background, there are rules that just seem totally silly to civilians, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like exactly how to fold your underwear or exactly how to pack your gear.
Or measuring boxers?
Yes. Civilians always roll their eyes at 17-year-olds getting their boxers measured with a ruler. And honestly, I wanted to roll my eyes too when I was 17. But those standards remove opinion.
How do you mean?
Well, standards aren't about how you feel that day. It's binary. You either meet the standard or you don't.
There's no middle ground.
None. And having that strict baseline is what allows a unit to be ready to move in 4 hours without needing a commander to babysit them or motivate them. You just meet the standard.
And without a standard, we default to human nature, right? We judge ourselves by our feelings.
Which is dangerous.
Super dangerous. We look at a job, say, it's good enough, and we pat ourselves on the back. But what if the standard you set is just garbage?
Then you're building a house on sand.
Right. Weak standards reinforce bad habits.
Yeah.
You end up with these false positives where you lie to yourself and you call it progress.
Oh, and a wrong standard is even worse.
Exactly. A wrong standard means you get really, really good at the wrong things.
It's like laying a tiny foundation for a massive skyscraper. It really doesn't matter how good your bricks are if the foundation, like the standard, is fundamentally weak.
So true. And the author has this great reality check for this called the mirror exercise.
And I love this part.
You basically just look in the mirror and you have to realize that the person looking back at you is your team. That is your primary leader.
You're stuck with them.
Yeah, you're stuck with them. And to illustrate this kind of self-command, he shares this hilarious writing confession.
Oh, the typing thing.
Yes. He admits he hated typing. Back in high school, he would literally cheat using Control-C and Control-V to copy files.
And he traded deer jerky for it.
Right. He traded deer jerky to a kid who could type fast so he wouldn't have to do it.
That's amazing.
But then years later, he has to write this book, and he couldn't trade jerky for a book. He had to command himself to kick his own ass and sit down to write daily.
Which is the essence of self-leadership. But what's really key here is that he let go of perfection.
Oh, for sure.
Like, he literally instructed his editor not to change his voice. He knew his grammar wasn't perfect, but execution matters more. True leaders strive for excellence, but they know when to just take the shot.
Because if you wait for perfection, you never execute.
Exactly. He mentions this archetype on YouTube called the mouth. You know, the 40-year-old keyboard warrior who just sits there criticizing a 20-year-old kid making videos.
Oh, we've all seen that guy.
Yeah. And the kid might have bad lighting or whatever, but the kid is getting things done. He's executing. Meanwhile, the mouth is just making noise because criticism requires zero standard of execution.
So then the question is, how do we systemize this? How do we execute without just relying on fleeting willpower?
That brings us to the core method of the chapter. The standard method.
Let's walk through this acronym clearly for everyone listening.
Okay, let's do it. S stands for set the standard.
Right. Define what right looks like so well that you could actually teach it to someone else.
Exactly. Then T is teach yourself.
This is where you learn what works. You find mentors, you read books, you watch videos.
Yep. Then A is act on it. Stop theorizing. Stop planning endlessly and just start doing it.
Then N is notice the result. And you have to be brutally honest here. Did you actually hit the mark?
Which leads into diagnose the gap. Be specific. Why did you fail? Was it your skill, your effort, your focus? Don't just say I messed up.
Right. Then A is adjust and improve. You fix what's broken in your process.
R is repeat relentlessly. You have to build the reps. And just like weightlifting, when it gets easy, you don't stop. You add 5 to 10 pounds to the bar.
Here, finally, the last D. Demand compliance.
Man, this is the one.
It really is. This is the command layer. You give the order to yourself and you follow it with absolutely no negotiation.
And as someone who trains young managers, I see this all the time. That final D is where most people fail.
Because they want to negotiate.
Exactly. They wake up, they don't feel like acting, and they try to barter with themselves. You cannot negotiate with yourself.
So let's do a really quick distilled student review for the listener.
Lay it on them.
First, you fall to your standards. Second, weak standards create false success. Third, you must command yourself when you don't feel like it. And fourth, if you develop this discipline, others will instinctively follow you.
It's powerful stuff.
Hmm.
But to truly run this new system, to make it work, we have to overwrite our internal software.
We do. And the author presents 3 mental code rewrite lines for this. And I want to read these exactly as they are written in the book.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here they are. Computer. When there is no one to lead me, remind me I am always required to lead myself. Computer. When I judge performance, require a standard, not a feeling. Computer. When I need direction, look within, commit, plan, and act.
That is just an incredibly solid framework for you to build on. And if you want to dive deeper into this, you can find a lot more resources over at jexlaws.com.
Absolutely. And I want to leave you listening with one final provocative thought today.
What's that?
Before you try to change anyone else's behavior today, look at the standard you walked past this morning. Because the standard you walk past is the standard you accept.
Wow. Yeah, that really puts the mirror right back on you. Well, thank you all for joining us on this deep dive. Make sure to visit jaxlaws.com for more, and we'll see you next time.